Welcome to this lab. I'm talking to Christine Bailey, who is a nutritionist and chef here in the UK. And Christine wants to start using Blab as a way to really communicate to the public on various health issues concerning nutrition, diet, the food they eat, because Christine specializes in a certain type of nutrition, don't you, Christine?
Well, I'm what's called a functional nutritionist, which means that I'm trained in functional nutrition, which helps me to understand the underlying imbalances in people's health conditions. And then we look at rectifying the underlying balances in order to get people to full health and vitality. So we're not treating the symptoms. We're looking at the underlying balances. And I will use a lot of laboratory testing to do that. And I think what you're referring to, Paul, is the fact that because I'm a chef and I myself am a celiac, so I'm very much an expert in allergy-free cooking and also paleo cooking as well, which is also gluten-free, of course.
Okay, and paleo is big in America. Mm. It's big in Australia.
Yes, very.
And it's just starting to scratch the surface now in the UK as a lifestyle and something that people have heard of. I mean, it's written quite a lot now in sort of UK consumer-centric publications. And more people have heard of it. And in fact, where I live in Surrey, there's a new paleo cafe pantry that's opened, which I know that you're consulting on.
Yes, that's right. And interestingly, Paul, we were down, as you know, at the first paleo conference, which was the first UK paleo conference called Health Unplugged. And I was actually lecturing there and presenting on autoimmune diseases and the importance of gut health and digestive health.
Right. And how did it go?
Oh, it was phenomenal. I mean, it was packed out event. Loads of different people from different backgrounds. And funny enough, I saw a couple of my clients there who I didn't actually know were going, but they are following the paleo diet to help resolve long-term health problems. There was a lot of talks about the lifestyle approach. So it's not just about the food you eat. It's about making sure you have time with your family and you have a sense of community with people, making sure you sleep, making sure you take time to de-stress or meditate or pray or whatever you call it, exercise, get sunlight. And this is very much what we call the paleo movement. So a lot of people get quite fixated about, you're the people that only eat meat and eggs or don't eat, you know, grains or whatever. It's actually a lot more than that. It's more of a lifestyle approach of, you know, how we can live in our modern society and take away some of the stresses and some of the issues that often lead to long-term health problems.
Right. Okay. Now, as well as being a chef, like you say, you are a nutritionist. And do you spend a lot of your time advising people that may have certain issues on what they should or what you advise them to eat?
Yeah.
So do you have private clients?
Yes,
like
I do.
That,
I mean? Very, that's a very good question, Paul. Yes, I do. I've been in clinic today seeing clients and, you know, hence the power of technology these days. I see clients all over the world, including, I was saying to Nazim last time, I see a lot of clients in Italy. We do a lot of Skype consults. I mean, I do see people down in Harley Street and I see them in Berkshire and Reading face to face as well. And I see a lot of children. So I see whole families. And a lot of them, it might just be that, you know, they're an athlete or they're into fitness and they just want to sort of upgrade their diet. But a lot of the time, people have got really chronic health conditions. So that could be that, you know, they're fatigued, they're stressed, they've got thyroid problems, a long-term diabetes, heart disease, chronic autoimmune conditions, digestive problems, IBS, anything really. And so we will have private consults, one-to-one consults, where we'll talk about their diet, their health history, their story, their health story. You know, how have they got to where they've got and what can we do to really address the underlying issues? And that might include lab testing, may not. It certainly includes often dietary changes, sometimes supplements. So it's a really nice way of seeing different people, as well as all my other work, which might be more out front in cameras on conferences, events, doing chef demos.
Right. Okay. And you are doing more and more for manufacturers of certain types of food, aren't you? I know
that's right.
I've seen that on your Facebook quite a lot. So talk us through that type of work that you do.
Yeah, and I think that's really, for me, obviously, it's great because I love working with food companies. But I also think it's quite a reflection of how seriously a lot of companies are taking the nutrition side of what they are producing. I work with a lot of gluten-free companies and free-from companies, paleo companies, and just companies that may be producing or want to produce something a little bit healthier. Maybe it's lower in sugar. Maybe it's higher in essential nutrients or fiber or protein. I work with a lot of protein companies. And then they want some advice on putting together new products or recipes. You know, I mean, it's all very well having all these products to buy in, say, Holland and Barrett, but how do people know what to do with it? So I come along, write recipes for them, provide them with nutritional advice. Yeah, it's great, great part of my job. And actually, interestingly, Paul, we've just been involved in the Free From Awards, which are national awards that happen every year. And I hope Jodie's going to listen to this, but I am hoping that next year, Jodie thinks about entering Primal Roost in the eating out competition.
Because I do as well.
Yeah, because we have now a whole section. So we do judging all through the year, but particularly in January, February. But this time of year, we are out visiting allergy-free restaurants secretly, testing their food and then feeding back on the winner. And I would desperately love a healthy cafe stroke restaurant that is also allergy free, because as you know, you can eat gluten free food, but it doesn't have to be healthy at all. Often it's laden with rubbish.
Yeah.
So please, Jodie, enter next year.
Yeah, that it would be great. And I've got to say, I mean, I've been involved with Primal Roost. I've been helping them with their social media and all that sort of stuff, and help them with their launch. What an exciting business!
Yeah.
And you know, you've only got to look at me to see that I love my food. Right, I love my food, and I've got to be honest with you, I probably eat far too much rubbish, but I always love going to Primal Roost because they prove that eating healthy doesn't have to be mean eating bland. Product there is just incredible. I was there the other day to have a meeting with Jodie, and they had this amazing ham hock and kale soup that was so filling and so delicious that and they've introduced me to some other products like that coconut jam.
Absolutely
love it.
That's quite a big hit.
Just talk us through some of that stuff, some of the stuff that's on your radar, those foods where it means it just because it's healthy doesn't mean to say it's bland.
No, that's right. And the whole emphasis on paleo eating is really probably just what our grandmas used to eat, if I'm going to be really honest. It's going back to what I would call unprocessed real food. So, you know, for breakfast, people that follow a paleo diet may, if they like their carbs, they may make themselves paleo bread or paleo granola and have that maybe with almond milk or coconut yogurt. If they are into their eggs, then they might well have poached eggs with, you know, veg or grilled tomatoes. So it's not unusual food, but it's ditching things like, you know, the sugary cereals and so on that a lot of, or pizzas, pasta, sandwiches that most people would eat. But now there are some really good products out there. So I don't know whether you've come across the Ugg Foods, but they produce bread and muffin mixes. They're all paleo. They're made from almond flour. And in fact, Primal Roost stock there.
Yeah, I bought some from there. I haven't got around to making it yet.
So easy. And all you do is when you get home, you add some eggs, you add a bit of olive oil, and maybe if you want to add a bit of fruit for flavouring, you can. You know, that's an easy way of getting your breads and your muffins on a paleo diet. And you were mentioning things like coconut jam. Well, coconut actually is although a lot of people think, oh, it's not healthy because it's saturated fat, actually it's been proven to be very healthy. And if you look at some of the native populations who use coconut on a regular basis, they don't get cardiovascular disease. That, you know, they don't get diabetes. They are actually incredibly healthy. And so one of the things that we often recommend is to cook with coconut oil because it's very heat stable. If you can't do dairy, you can make or buy coconut yogurt or coconut kefir. And now what they're doing is creating more products using the coconut sap. And so you can get coconut sugar, syrups, and of course that coconut jam as well that you mentioned.
Okay, now just before we carry on this, let me just let Marcus in.
Yeah.
Marcus, I happen to know that Marcus is just about to go into the gym.
So oh,
quite,
okay.
Quite appropriate that he's talking. So let's let Marcus
Brilliant.
In.
Hello, folks. How are you?
Hi, Marcus. Nice to see you.
Very pleased to meet you in a proper manner. My interruption of your conversation earlier. Right, so this is going to be good for all of us. Right?
Yeah.
A couple of decent reasons. Now, Christine, I trust Paul, which means I automatically trust you.
That's very nice.
So here's the thing with me. He's right. I am going to nip off to go and get changed to go into the gym and beat myself up in my weekly insanity. I say weekly because I've missed it for a while, which is
right.
The problem. And it's interesting listening to you guys because for me, it's like, let's put it this way. As long as you work it off, I've been told you can eat anything. You know how people say, as long as you work it off, you can do what you like. I'm not sure what you specialise in, so it'd be great to hear that. I'm sorry I didn't catch the beginning. But I am lactose intolerant, so I don't do milk products.
Yep.
That's relevant. I heard you talking about that.
Yeah.
My wife tends to cook with coconut milk as opposed to other things for that very reason at times. Mm. But I've just completely cut out a whole host of things out of my diet just because of this.
Right, okay.
I mean, I have to say I'm still prone to the odd bowl of pralines and cream ice cream. Is it pralines and cream? That doesn't sound right.
I think so. Yeah, I think it might well be. Yeah.
But I always take the lactase tablets, and ironically, you'll never actually see me without.
Right. Okay. You know,
spirulina.
These are actually lactase, and they're
yes,
great.
I know. Yep.
Anybody out there? Normally, I keep them in very discreetly. I keep them in an old Tic Tac case, but because they look.
And Marcus, have you always been lactose intolerant, or is this something that has developed over the years?
I'm assuming, yes, I have been, but it's something that I discovered. I mean, so essentially, it was much more acute when I was a lot younger. I think I built up a little bit more of a tolerance. I mean, I could literally just kind of dip my finger in something and I had to run, you know what I mean, without being crass. But as an older person now, I have a tolerance for these things, especially with the tablets. I think that certainly helps. If anybody who doesn't know, I take three of those tablets and I can have what everybody else can have. And it doesn't kind of give you that crampy, horrible, I mean, I won't tell you the rest, but it's pretty.
No,
pretty
I know. I see a lot of clients with lactose issues. And the reason I mentioned whether you've had it for a long time is that there are some people who have other allergies or other autoimmune diseases, and because they actually damage the villi of your gut, which is where you produce the lactase, you can develop it over time. A lot of people are born genetically not able to digest milk. We know that, and we can actually test that. So I think that's probably you from the sound of things.
Just seeing my dad having the same troubles, but at 70 odd years old, only now is he really admitting to it. I'm like, why are you still messing with milk, man? It's like, it's not the way. He's like, so.
The difficulty with taking a enzyme is, I mean, that's fine, but whenever you eat something that your body really can't digest, you are promoting inflammation in your body. So I wouldn't use it as an excuse to pig out and then take the lactase to try and make it better for cream and so on, particularly cream, milk, because those are really high in lactose, as you know, whereas cheese and butter are much lower in lactose. So some people will find, actually, I can cope with a bit of butter. I can cope with a bit of hard cheese. But milk and cream would send you off, and yogurt even would probably send you off to the toilet.
I try and stay away from them all. Very lightly buttered items always, and very I stay away from cheese for the same reason, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, Christine, would you recommend then that, because I tried this at Primal Roost a few weeks ago on their cereal, that coconut yogurt.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Koyo. And I work for them as well. I've done a lot of their recipes. Koyo is very, I mean, it's not cheap. You can make your own coconut yogurt, though. And it's, from an exercise point of view, we like coconut oil because it contains something called medium-chain triglycerides. And what I mean by that is medium-chain triglycerides are preferentially burnt as a fuel. And so when you exercise and your glycogen stores start to decline, because obviously if you've been exercising for quite a long time, and your glycogen stores go down, you start feeling a bit fatigued. Well, right. If you also take some coconut oil, and a lot of athletes put it in a smoothie before they go exercise, they can work out harder for longer.
Oh, that's
So a lot of my endurance athletes, I do see a lot of athletes actually, Marcus, if you're still around.
Yeah. We lost Marcus. He was on his mobile phone, but I'm sure he'll come back in.
Yeah, a lot of the athletes I see will add it to a smoothie pre-training and or after training as well. But it's interesting because I was actually with a client today and we'd just done a genetic test on her little boy. And one of the markers we look for is lactase. Do you have enough naturally, are you producing enough lactase in order to digest lactose, which is the milk sugar in dairy products? And a lot of people were actually born with not enough anyway, and particularly African, Asian, Caribbean, all of them, it's just genetic. It's very interesting.
Okay, now, while I've got you on here, I might as well take advantage of the fact that I've got a nutritionist in front of me. Now, as I said earlier, I love my food and I try, we're going to let Marcus back in. I try, a battle with my weight and have done for a long time. But one of the problems I find is that I'm always hungry. Now, are there any kind of things you could recommend that sort of make it fuller for longer?
Absolutely. So that's a really good question. So when people feel that they are hungry, it's likely, it's not to do with the amount you're eating. It's actually probably to do with the balance on your plate. So first of all, we always say to people, check your plate and make sure half of it is vegetables. And by that, I don't mean potatoes. I don't mean chips. I mean lots of green leafy stuff, the broccoli, kales, you know, all of the cauliflowers, the cabbage, all of the veg, and get color. We always want color. So not just a whole plate of peas, you know, get two or three different veg in them. I don't care if it's bags of frozen veg, you know, as long as you don't cook it to death or nuke it, it's fine. And then at least a quarter, or if not two thirds, should be then protein.
Right.
And often where people go wrong is that most of their plate is starch. It's the pasta, it's the rice, it's the potatoes, it's the bread. And that will, it looks quite bulky, but over a long period of time will not fill you. Protein satiates you. So you feel fuller for longer with protein and some healthy fat. When you add lots of carb, even if it's brown, it will not make you as full for longer. So initially you might feel quite good, but then the blood sugar will start to fall quickly. And what happens is when your blood sugar dips, that is the time it triggers the appetite again. So for feeling fuller for longer, protein, and then fill yourself up with veg or salad. That's a better rule. And it's worth saying, a lot of people mistake hunger for thirst. So in between meals, try and drink more, because sometimes it's not hunger, it's actually that your body's really thirsty.
That's a really good advice. I'm gonna take you up on that. You've inspired me, Christine. Definitely, because I need to do something about my weight. As you know, I'm a busy fella. I run around from client to client.
Yeah.
And one of my problems actually is that a lot of my clients are food outlets.
Really?
Yeah. In one way or another, they're either fast food or they're restaurants, and that type of thing. And of course, whenever I go to have a meeting with them, they say, "Paul, have something to eat." And, you know, Too easy. But that's one of the reasons why I love going to Primal Roost, because at least when I go there, I know it's going to be healthy.
You know it's good. You know it's good. I mean, one thing that Marcus is just asking, and it's actually relevant to this appetite thing, is diabetes, because we know in the UK that type 2 diabetes is really ranking up in terms of the problems that it causes, the number of people being diagnosed. And type 2, for those who are listening, is different than type 1. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease. Often you are born with it, or it happens, the trigger happens early in life. It doesn't always happen like that, but often it does. And what's happening is your pancreas is being attacked, and the amount of insulin you produce almost goes to negligible amounts. That's a very different condition. Type 2 is where your cells often become quite resistant to insulin. So your pancreas will still be producing insulin, but your cells just aren't hearing it. It's almost like they've got mufflers on and they say, no, I need more and more insulin. I can't hear you. Keep producing more. And so the blood sugar is staying quite high in your blood because it's not then being able to be shunted into cells. It's when you get your glucose into your cells, you utilize it for energy. And that's why actually one of the symptoms of diabetes, which sounds a bit strange because you've got a lot of blood sugar, is you feel tired. You feel tired all the time. You get ratty, irritable, moody, and you can feel hungry for no reason. And those are often indications that your blood sugar is out of balance and you could be heading towards diabetes. Now, we can test you before you even hit diabetes. We can do insulin testing, pre-diabetes testing, and often associated with diabetes is raised cholesterol. So there's lots of other triggers that we can look at to see what can we do to improve the sensitivity of your cells. There are really good supplements out there. One of them, Marcus, that you may well have heard of is chromium. Chromium really improves how the insulin can get into the cells. But just from a chefy point of view, easy trick, cinnamon. Get 1 to 2 teaspoons of cinnamon in your food every day. And also use apple cider vinegar, because both of those have been shown to help with lowering raised blood sugar and helping shunt things into your cells more. I mean, obviously there are some really specialized products that we use, but those are just two really easy tips. And again, of course, cut down carbs. You don't need carbs. You need to get more of the veg and the protein in.
Such fantastic advice. And actually Marcus is saying the same there. He's feeling ratty, knackered, might need to get myself checked again for diabetes. Do you know something?
I think
I do too. Because my wife will tell you that I'm a grumpy sod sometimes. And maybe that's what it is.
Well, it's very interesting. The number of people I've picked it up and they've never been diagnosed. And it's such an easy test to do. And if you want to, you know, just go to your GP, ask them, look, you know, just a little bit worried about this. Can you check my fasting glucose? We can actually, sometimes the doctors will do it. We can test insulin as well, which is probably slightly more accurate. And you can obviously get your lipids done as well. But these are simple things. Another really good tip, and Marcus, this would be particularly relevant for you. Vitamin D. Vitamin D improves how well you utilize blood sugar. Now, all of us, I mean, here we are sitting in dingy rooms, all of us are not getting enough vitamin D because sunlight, you need sunlight. Now, with my coloring, I don't actually need as much sunlight to process vitamin D. The darker your skin, the more you need to spend time in the sun. And let's face it, none of us are going to be spending time, unless we're going on holiday, to somewhere exotic. Hi, Marcus.
Earphones. Right.
Plug those in. Go on, fella.
Two promises. One, I will mute myself out when I'm not saying something. And two, I'm going to kick, myself
and
off.
And you should go to the gym. You should go to the gym. It's good for you.
Well, the problem with the insanity is that, and this is the thing, it's kind of in there, bang, I know, hard burst.
And I
like your way of thinking, because what you're seemingly saying, it seems to me, is do the right stuff, period. Eat the right stuff. Build the right stuff into your diet. I like the cinnamon talk. I like all of it.
So
before I go, selfishly, this is good. I'm talking lactase or lactose plus diabetes plus young slender black man who loves the sun but doesn't get enough of it. I like where you're going with this. So when I watch your replay, I expect loads more of that.
Well, Marcus, Christine is going to be doing lots more of these.
Good. I really am.
Please join me.
Good, I will. Absolutely. Because honestly, I'll tell you, let's face it, the biggest part, I'm 41, I think. The biggest problem, and see, that's not cool, I don't even know. But anyway, the biggest problem with developing yourself as a young person, and we all are, damn it.
Yeah.
Wrinkles aside, we all are. The fact of the matter is, we just need to know the right diet, coupled with the right exercise, whatever that may be, whether that's walking, running, cycling. I've got a scooter in my boot. I'm quite happy to jump on. I don't care on it, you know. But so I feel like I've got the capacity to do the right things, but I just need to kick myself into touch to do them. And the one area that I can't control and don't feel like I have enough knowledge about is my diet. So I would really appreciate the help there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that this is the whole idea of doing these blabs, and we're going to do them much more regularly, or I should say Christine is going to do them much more regularly. Hopefully, I mean, I know that I need to do these things. I know I need to do them. And every now and again, I do them when my weight gets to but it's maintaining it. And sometimes you just need someone like Christine just to keep you motivated and help you with the science behind it all, so you understand what your body's doing. They talk to us, our bodies, don't they?
Yeah, and Marcus, we can just have a blab session on weight loss and diabetes, you know, because I see so many clients with this, and your questions are not unusual. No, we get this all the time.
I could honestly, I mean, if I go anywhere near my parents, my mum particularly, she'll want me to get tested all the time. She's just, I love her, but she's extra, right? And I'm like, look, I've had this conversation with my doctor. I'm good. I'm the right height. Yeah, I've got a bit of a daddy belly, but I'm working on it, you know. So it's not like I'm walking about with respect to anybody, but like with orca fat on me, you know. I mean, I do my thing. And anyway, look, I must go.
Thanks,
Marcus. Yeah, go. Good for you.
Cheers, fella. Well done, mate.
No worries. Nice one. See you soon.
Cheers.
Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, Marcus.
But yeah, interesting, very interesting. I think that he's hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah,
we need to do more of these because I think you could really help a lot of people out there. Just help them motivate them.
I think, Paul, you're also right in that, you know, it's really confusing. I mean, just the other day, there was all this hype about if you eat red meat, you're going to die of cancer. It's just as bad as asbestos, etc. Everyone's confused. And that was one thing that came up at the paleo conference was, I don't know what to do, you know, because one minute we're told this, one minute we're told that. And, you know, luckily, I actually read research papers every day because that's part of my job. I like to be up to date with what's going on. So hopefully I can help people and answer very specific questions as well. And actually, while we're on that subject, it's worth mentioning there is this free health summit that's happening now on the gut. So if anyone's got digestive disorders, then there is a link on my Advanced Nutrition Facebook page about how you can join up, sign up for free. There's no strings attached, it's free. You listen every day to recordings from health experts on how to resolve IBS and gut issues. And I'm really thrilled. They've asked me to be involved. So I will be talking about restoring the gut and tackling things like IBS.
Right. I mean, a very close member of my family is diagnosed with that. You know, she's constantly not knowing what to eat and things that, you know, that even, you know, you go to the GP and they tell you, well, you've got these things and you should avoid this, you should avoid that or whatever. But there's no ongoing support for people like that. And I think that that is your niche on this platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I specialize in. But I want to say that there's nothing worse than having an ongoing gut problem. It destroys people's lives. They can't sleep. They have, problems going out. They can't go. I had one guy And he couldn't even get on a train that was more than half an hour because he would have to rush to the loo. He had Crohn's disease and it couldn't control it. And we managed to control it by completely changing his diet. But he couldn't go out. I mean, it was awful. He would always check, where are the nearest toilets? You know, you can't go out to eat. Often people are double backed in pain all the time. It affects their mood. You know, I think we underestimate the effects these can have on people. You know, it can be literally quite life changing if you can help to resolve them.
Right. Okay. Now we've had another question here from Chris Bailey, and I think that is relating to what Marcus is about to embark upon. Is insanity? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I do, and it kills you. So Insanity is a fitness program developed by the States. There's quite a few of them. There's T25, there's Insanity, and it's like a very fast-paced CrossFit, and you literally burn for about 30 minutes. It kills
you. Sounds like my worst nightmare.
Which is why Marcus said I think he had to prepare himself getting ready for it.
And he just answered the question there. He says answer equals pain.
Yes, it does, Marcus, absolutely.
Excellent. Now, we're going to wrap this up shortly. I just wanted to really talk about what your vision is for using this platform going forward, because we're going to embed the replay of this on your Facebook page, because I think that I think you could do a lot of people a lot of good by just making yourself available to them here on Blab.
Well, I do hope so. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I've been in the health industry for 18 years now. I've written 13 books on different food and health issues. My vision is that we can get an open debate and dialogue about how to help ourselves with dietary changes, health conditions, food ideas, you know, new ways of cooking, new exciting opportunities to, learn from each other. Because it's not just about me. It's about, you know, this is a community, hopefully, and we can exchange good ideas and good practices, you know, what's worked for other people as well. So that would be my vision, you know, to really build a sense of community with other people and really try and motivate us to live a healthier life.
Right. Marcus has just said, I'm in. Marcus,
good.
Get yourself to that class, fella, and stop putting it off. Excellent. Well, I'm going to end this now. Thanks so much for taking part in this, Christine.
Thank you, Paul.
I think this is going to be really good and really beneficial to a lot of people. And I'm really glad you're embracing this technology in this way, because we could do with more professionals like you.
Yeah, brilliant.
Willing to give their advice so freely. So thanks very much.